With the election a mere 2 months away, it seems as if both parties have aired their points of contention pretty effectively to the American public. Those issues are American political standards. Abortion, the economy, taxes, spending on social programs and guns, basically the same thing Gen Xers and Millennials have heard since they understood what all the fuss was about. This year, however, there is an issue on the docket that both parties and many voting Americans have yet to fully acknowledge: political polarization. Polarization has replaced the importance of pragmatism and problem-solving in our political system. American politics is now characterized by our inability to get along. And the worst part about it is that the longer we wait to find solutions to major issues, the worse all of our problems become. The undisputed champion of American divisiveness is Congress. This branch of government has a 10% approval rating and a bit of explaining to do for its behavior over the past 2 years. To date in 2012, the 112th Congress has passed only 61 out of 3,914 proposed laws. To put it another way, if you were a bill, you would have a 1.5% chance of survival in the 112th Congress. Congress's shoddy track record on cooperation directly correlates with its divisiveness. A study conducted by MIT quantified the voting habits of elected officials in Congress from 1885 to the present. The study measured how likely elected officials are to vote according to their own interests or those of the party, with 0 being complete autonomy in voting and 1 being total adherence to party views. Altogether, the 112th Congress averages around 0.85 in the study. The House, however, greatly skews the data. In comparison to the Senate, which floats around the 0.8 mark, the House's polarization rate is around 0.99, which means most voting in the House is strictly along party lines. The House's apparent dysfunction can be attributed to the ill-fated 2010 midterm elections. Lest we forget, 2010 was the year of the Tea Party. Scores of frustrated voters from all over the right and middle of the political spectrum flocked to the Tea Party's message of anti-government, anti-tax, and most startlingly of all, anti-compromise. The Tea Party won 42 seats in the House and 5 in the Senate that year. And when they said no compromise, they really meant no compromise. The 112th Congress, which housed those Tea Party freshmen, has filed a cloture motion to break the filibuster 104 times. It almost sounds like a bad joke. How many politicians does it take to bring the US government to its knees? The answer is 47. That's not hyperbole either. They almost managed to do it last summer during the debt ceiling crisis. Despite the obvious desire of the House to completely inhibit the function of government, the most incriminating evidence of the damage done by Congress's division is visible in the Capitol itself. According to the New York Times, Congress can't even agree on a figure to appropriate for fixing the dilapidated dome of the Capitol building. Congress's unruly behavior has created the perfect symbol to sum up its inadequacy in government. It truly is a House so divided that it can barely stand. But don't let my doom and gloom get to you. There is a bright side. One of the 61 laws passed by Congress this year was the Mark Twain Commemorative Stamp Act. Now, finally, after all these years, you can get that Mark Twain stamp. It'll really tie your collection together. All joking aside, I have scathed Congress long enough. Surely a few hundred people cannot be solely responsible for either the initial polarization bomb or the subsequent political fallout that swept the country. Other forces are at play. As Americans, we are wont to point fingers until someone shoulders the blame. To whom do we point, then, for the disastrous shortcomings of our government? A good place to start is the average American voter. In a study released in June and conducted among 3,008 adults nationwide, the Pew Research Center concluded that the major dividing line between voters is, for the first time, their conflicting values. Think about that for a minute. Voters are not divided by race, nor gender, nor socioeconomic status, but simply a difference of opinion. In fact, the partisan gap has nearly doubled from 10% to 18% since Pew began keeping track of this statistic in 1987. This figure shows that, rather than focusing on the solutions offered by a policy, voters focus on how a policy conforms to their values. And if you think the rise of registered independents mitigates the effects of partisanship among voters, you are sorely mistaken. Though the number of self-described independents has swelled to almost 40%, a recent story from NPR shows that most of these swing voters still tend to vote along the partisan lines with which they identify the most. Of the self-described left-leaning independents, 90% voted for Barack Obama in 2008. Likewise, 80% of those independents who identified more with the right voted for John McCain. A reasonable solution to such a systemic problem is difficult to find. Clearly, the people to whom the American people entrust their votes have abdicated their roles as organs of the state. On the other hand, however, we voters betray our civic duties through uninformed or sometimes subjectively informed opinions. We've allowed ourselves to get swept up in partisan bickering that blinds us to the true problems and, more importantly, a thoughtful solution to them. I don't mean to get all American Revolution on everyone, But the founders gave us a system that necessitates compromise, and for good reason. Compromise is the backbone of equality. The moment American politics abandons that necessity, it abandons its duty as well. Our infrastructure is crumbling, our education system is failing, our tax code has more loopholes than a roller coaster, and that's just naming a few major problems. If we want to move the country forward, it is essential that we find a way to break the gridlock and make amends. Unless one party attempts to completely wipe out the other, views will continue to differ in America. Abortion will still be an issue, so will the economy. But in order to solve those puzzles, we have to work together. Put your partisanship aside and dig into some pragmatism. This is Brian Sisk, and I'm a columnist for PoliticalFiber.com.